Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom to all as well. Isn't it good to be alive and to think we might never die, but rather caught up to meet Jesus in the clouds?
Yeah, those are pretty good thoughts.
Tonight we're going to begin in the book of Micah, a somewhat overlooked prophet, but has a lot to say. But first, let's covet his Holy Spirit power.
Abba, Father, and God Almighty, may your Holy Spirit power encompass your bride, as so many are suffering afflictions and need your comforter to carry them through, so to one day stand tall in your kingdom as victorious soldiers of Christ, who overcomes the enemy by the blood of Jesus. We will always continue to lift up our loved ones for their salvation. Please do whatever it takes for their repentance. We also pray for the many persecuted Christians in the world and the new Muslim believers, many who will experience martyrdom. Bless our president and tonight's teaching, and pray it brings a smile to your countenance. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, today marks the 100th day of Donald Trump's presidency.
Yes, and he's done too much to mention on this short time span, except to say kudos for securing our border.
Yes, it's phenomenal all that he's done.
Except the stupid wars in Ukraine and Gaza, and potentially in Iran, who are pals with Russia. Iran's proxies are almost, thankfully, incapacitated, and we are hitting Yemen almost every day. And the few missiles that have been aimed at Israel by the Houthis have been intercepted or failed to fire.
Israel wants to take out Iran's nuclear capability.
Yes, and Trump would rather make a deal. Meanwhile, there was a huge explosion to an Iranian port which was holding a special fuel needed for nuclear missiles.
Was it an accident, or did Israel do it as Iran is claiming?
Not sure. But the United States has continued to move more and more heavy equipment into the Middle East, including B-52 bombers and F-35s, as well as increased naval strikes in the Persian Gulf area, in an attempt to pressure Iran into giving up its nuclear ambitions. With that said, I don't think many countries in the world would move these sorts of military assets to a region unless they were seriously considering to use them if necessary. But again, Israel wants total dismantling of centrifuges, where Iran might only agree to stop and store them.
Question is, will Trump accept that?
The only reason I think he might is because we have scripture that says Israel will be heavily attacked by Iran and its allies like Russia and Turkey. But the Lord does step in to save Israel as they are being attacked.
Therefore, God allows it to happen.
Yeah, so they can witness Yeshua and accept their Messiah, as Ezekiel 38:23 says they will. So, bottom line, the Lord has a purpose in allowing Iran to have their nukes, which at this point could be ready in a matter of weeks. But Trump could slow that down, for this war probably won't happen till closer to the middle of the tribulation, and we know from Scripture they are saved as a whole by the end of the first half, as stated in Revelation 12.
Israel is still fighting with Gaza.
And had to strike yet another military stronghold in southern Lebanon last week, taking out another rocket commander, Ali Nassar, who was trying to facilitate funds and weapons to rebuild Hezbollah from Iran through Beirut's airport. And let's not forget the Al-Qaeda group called HTS in Syria, who is backed by Turkey and killing the Alawites and allowing ISIS, who is also a faction from Al-Qaeda, to remain, probably as their patsy.
And we are all wondering who the next pope will be.
And what his name will be, since that prophecy of St. Malachi says the last pope in history will take the name of Peter.
More on all that later.
Yes.
You can read our many newsletters or listen to any previous programs on our webpage, shofarministries.net. You can also send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please know how much we truly appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net. Okay, time to look at the 8th century B.C. prophet Micah.
Yes, because Shofar Ministries does focus on the prophetic writings, because, sadly, it is lacking in this Laodicean church era today. Now, if you do attend a church that teaches prophecy, rejoice and thank your pastor repeatedly. Just be sure he preaches a pre-trib rapture. Otherwise, it distorts the true prophetic meaning. And if he incorporates some Hebraic roots, as in the feasts and idiomatic phrases, well, that's a real bonus.
But should not be legalistic.
Oh, not at all. It's just to connect the dots, for we have been freed from the law.
Hallelujah.
Also, we are often asked for referrals. So if you attend a church like that, please let us know where so we can pass it on to others near you. All right, so Micah, like many others, preached a coming judgment. And the people of Judah did repent for a while as they had seen what happened to the northern tribes who did not repent. Even though Isaiah was in the north warning those 10 tribes. So as a result, the Assyrians in 722 BC attacked and captured the northern tribes. But the southern area of Judah was left alone, for they did not serve other gods.
For about 100 years.
Yeah, until that new generation also messed up. So God sent Babylon to them.
They should have had a better knowledge of their history.
You know, even Jeremiah in chapter 3 asked them, why did you do that after seeing what happened to your sister up north by the Assyrians? And, you know, Jonah as well had success when he, although reluctantly, went to the Gentiles in Nineveh, and they did repent. But the same scenario, only it lasted a while.
Yeah, about 50 years.
Yeah, so when the Medes conquered them around 612 B.C.
Is America being warned right now?
Well, not enough. Of course, we have some great evangelists, but mostly it's to accept Jesus to make your life better and receive salvation, and that's truly a good thing. But not so much that a horrendous judgment is coming upon the earth, and you could be in it. And when you do tell people what's coming, most are not heeding the warning and really don't believe you.
Yeah, you know, and that is sad.
But as we say a lot, still, be sure to tell all you can, because they will remember what you said and at least be a tribulation saint. And John says there will be a multitude of them, Revelation 7. But if you don't and stay quiet, they could follow the beast instead. So do your duty, church.
Time's a-wasting.
And there are many false prophets saying, oh, everything will be fine, just like they did in the Old Testament, giving forth words of false hopes as the pending judgments get closer to fulfillment.
As it did in Jeremiah's day concerning Babylon.
Yeah, he was even imprisoned for it.
Mm-hmm.
What's special about our generation is this time God will remove all the true believers just prior to his wrath. Not really over the sins of the people, but rather over the sin of rejecting his son. And one of the reasons I like Micah is he has a very telling prophecy about our removal. And for the Old Testament, that's a welcome surprise.
Yes, he does in his last chapter.
And another point we should make is some fourth tellers know they are more liked and accepted when they say good things are coming, because it's what most people want to hear.
I think it's called ear tickling.
It is, even though Jesus also gave some dire prophecies that the Pharisees, they didn't like too much.
As in the downfall of Jerusalem.
True. And, well, they did kill him. And many others. But anyhow, back to Micah.
Whose name means, like Yahweh.
Yes, and Micah gives many prophecies in just 7 chapters.
Some already fulfilled, some not.
Be sure to read Micah this week for next week as we stir you up tonight, as Peter likes to say. So there was Micah in the south and Isaiah up in the north. So they were contemporaries and probably knew each other.
Or at least about each other.
Mm-hmm. Micah's time span was approximately 737 to 690 BC.
Over a period of 3 reigning kings.
As in the mighty warrior Jotham, and his son, though, the very wicked, immoral Ahaz, who even burned his own children to Molech.
But the next son was Hezekiah.
Yes, who had a mind for God, and because of that, witnessed some amazing miracles. But Micah begins his book by choosing to expose their sins, then conveys punishment if no repentance. And finally, the hope of restoration.
Not just in their time.
Right. We also see Micah jumping ahead to prophesying the final days as well.
As most of the prophets do.
True. Which is why we love the prophet books.
Anyhow, there are many future prophecies thrown throughout the chapters.
Yes. And how do we know when it is a future prophecy?
Because Micah will use our familiar term, in that day.
Of course, which always means from the rapture onward, which is the last 1,000 years or the 7th day of history that begins with darkness of the tribulation period on earth for 7 years and finishes with the light of Jesus' return for the remaining 993 years of his kingdom. Now back on earth.
That began for us in heaven.
Yes. In Genesis, we are told that every 24 hours of each day begins at sundown or in the dark as a typological picture that darkness comes before the light of Jesus at the end of the tribulation, as he is the sun that casts out the darkness.
Just like so many say, sunlight is the best disinfectant.
And there will be a lot of germs in the tribulation.
Okay, moving on.
All right, the first chapter shows Micah receiving the message from God that Samaria in the northern kingdom will be destroyed for harlotry.
There are many idols on high places.
And it did, as verse 6 said, in that it became a heap of ruins from the Assyrian army, where some of the people were killed and the rest were taken to Assyria and later dispersed throughout the many lands.
The high places were the areas near Mount Hermon,
where the 200 fallen angels, according to Enoch, landed. The tribe of Dan was the first tribe to travel up as close as possible to this high place where they worshipped false gods.
We visited there and you could still see the carved out niches.
Yep. Those chiseled out spaces into the side of the mountain where they would place their statues of their idols. Interesting how in Genesis 49, Jacob prophesies over his son Dan that his descendants would be a vile group, and why many believe the Antichrist will have some Jewish blood from the tribe of Dan. Anyhow, Micah, mostly naked with ashes on his bald head, representing shame, walked the streets of Jerusalem and just wailed over this harlotry and warned them it could happen to them as well.
But they too eventually fell into harlotry.
Ignoring the God that created them. Like America today.
Except for the remnant.
Amen. In chapter 2, Micah also calls out the iniquity of covetousness and the seizing of properties using violence while rejecting the word of the true prophets, but accepting the false prophets who prophesy days of wine and drink, restoration, revival, you know, all those, as we say, ear-tickling words.
And those are good things, but where's the balance?
Right, because there are hard times too, and always will be. But what really is being neglected and needs to be preached is that there is a judgment coming to the lost and could begin this year, which you don't hear a lot of, especially from the forth-tellers that say their messages are from God.
But are they?
We'll just leave it at that for now.
Then, in verse 4 of chapter 2, Micah goes to the future.
And we know that because, again, he uses the term in that day. So another similar judgment will happen again in the tribulation, but on a grand scale to the whole world. And you wouldn't fully understand that if you didn't know about this particular idiom, this Hebraic roots phrase, in that day, which is, again, an extremely important idiomatic expression.
Which we talk about a lot.
We do, and we'll again, I'm sure, because it's so important. But as in every judgment, a remnant shall be restored and gathered in like sheep.
Matthew 25.
Okay, now in chapter 3, Micah really lays into Israel's wicked rulers and reveals, believe this, their cannibalism. And it was within their own people.
And cannibalism is still practiced today, even right here in America.
Yes, it's part of like ritualistic ceremonies they call spirit cooking. And we've talked about this before, but they drink the blood as well, and especially from children. And as long as the devil exists, and it will succeed, and the unrighteous will often adhere in some way or another.
Well, remember Ephesians 6.
Anyway, Micah spares no words, and you can't take it any other way, because he says it in verse 3, that they eat the flesh of my people.
Yeah, that is quite plain, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He also calls out the false prophets profusely for bribery.
And he specifically says how they say, no harm is coming. Don't be concerned. Everything is fine, for the Lord is amongst us. But judgment was coming, as it is coming today. And except for us few, is seldom really talked about.
Micah closes chapter 3 by giving a future prophecy.
But not of the very end times, not for us, but rather coming soon to Jerusalem, first by Babylon, and later, which did happen in 70 AD, when Jerusalem and the temple became a heap of ruins by the Romans. Now in chapter 4, we see Micah jumping back again to the very latter days, describing the Messianic kingdom and how Jerusalem will be restored high upon the mountain, and many will come to the house of our Lord, and he will be the new king and judge.
And the best thing is no more fighting and no more wars.
Amen. In verse 4, Micah uses a familiar phrase where he describes those being in the kingdom as sitting under his vine and under his fig tree, which are symbols for Israel during the Messianic kingdom. You probably remember in the Gospel of John, that would be chapter 1, verse 48, that we see Jesus telling Nathanael that he saw him sitting under the fig tree.
In other words, prophesying to Nathanael, he would be in his kingdom someday.
That's right. But then in verse 9 and the first part of verse 10, still in chapter 4, Micah prophesies that before the kingdom will be tribulation. And we know that because he uses particular phrases that signifies it, this time with the words, pangs of a woman in labor. That is always an idiomatic expression, which means the tribulation period, where Israel will suffer, but it will bring her to birth, the new birth of salvation. And by the last sentence of verse 10, he says, but first you will go as captives to Babylon. And they did. But they would be delivered, and they were. After 70 years, and many were returned to Jerusalem, and you can thank King Cyrus for that, and the Jews went back home and they started to rebuild their temple. And you can read a lot about that in the book of Ezra. Then finishing chapter 4, in verses 11, 12, and 13, he brings them back to their present day and informs them that they will be victorious against their current neighboring enemies. And according to history, especially Josephus, they were. Now, next week, we will continue and cover chapters 5, 6, and 7, my favorite chapters of Micah. Many prophecies about the first coming of Christ, even where he would be born, and more about Israel's spiritual birth as a whole. And we'll visit some more confirming prophecies and take apart my favorite Old Testament rapture scripture in chapter 7. But in the meantime, be sure to read now the whole book of Micah before next week. It's just seven chapters, and you can read from the beginning to the end in 1 week easily. And also, if you have any questions, you feel free to email me at sheila@shofarministries.net. And we might answer your questions on the air, or I will definitely email you back an answer. Feel free to do that. Now, the major question is, who am I speaking to out there? Is there anyone that can say you really aren't born again? Let me ask you, who has your heart? I mean, really has your heart? How well do you know him? And more importantly, is he personal to you? You can invite him in right now. Just get on your knees and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Please come into my heart. I believe in you. You are my Redeemer. You are my only Savior, who has totally paid off my debt for all my sins. And if you prayed that, you are born again. Now, there's some of you, of course, that you probably would say, no, that's all right. I'd rather pay that debt off by myself. You're saying the wrong thing, because hell is not a good place. So let me ask you this again. If you are already saved, are you lukewarm? If you are, he'll spit you from his mouth, meaning you're no good for any service. Get on fire, church, and preach judgment is coming, because it is. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that surely lasting peace. Till then, till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in many ways. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.